Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be
good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. This evening, I'm waiting for my guest, who will be here in just one moment, and I just wanted to mention to you with our new season of shows that we are focusing more on our women and the traumas that they go through. We do have professionals who are part of this network who will be here to give advice to you, but primarily we want to hear your stories, and I think it's important to make that connection between women because we all go through very similar emotions and feelings, and by sharing them, we come out way ahead as far as our recovery time. So I'm going to get my guest right on the phone with us, my guest Megan. And Megan, how are you tonight?
Hi, Bonnie. How are you? Nice to hear from
I'm
you
I'm doing
again.
Good. How are things on the West Coast? How's the weather?
Oh, the weather here is beautiful. It always is. Bright and sunny. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they say it never rains in Southern California. There was a song like that when I was young.
Exactly.
Probably before you were born, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And then when I lived in California, it didn't rain either. And it was
It's fantastic.
Almost every day.
Exactly. Put you in a good mood, right? Try to forget about the past a little bit and move on. Right. It helps. Everything helps.
Everything. Yes. And we have to try to do anything we can to feel better about ourselves.
Absolutely.
For people who missed your first broadcast, do you think you can give them a little information about you and how we came together? What brought
you
to me?
Well, I'll tell you, Bonnie, I've read, as I said, every one of your books, and I just have so much respect for you and what you've done to help these women and all of us that are going through this. And, you know, I'm on your Facebook page, and, you know, when things happened, and when I found out the truth, I was just lost. And as I said, I got on Amazon and I just Googled, you know, straight wives and gay husbands, and I ordered book after book, and then I depleted your resources, and I was a little upset about that. And then at one point, I know you were thinking about retiring, and I was like, she can't do that because she is like the guru, you know. And as I said, I just kind of found you, and I started writing my own journals and thinking that I might, you know, want to do something, either write a book or obviously do podcasts. And I contacted you, and you were just nice enough to reach out and contact me back. And here I am. And it's been really therapeutic and really helpful, and I appreciate it.
Of women say that when they read the, you know, books about straight wives, Shattered Lives, Volume 1 and 2, that they make connections with so many other women who are telling that story. And although I just really decided on this a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to be reaching out over the next month or two because I would like to do Volume number 3 because a lot of women need to tell their stories, yes. And I think that's how people connect, and yet they don't want to write a whole book, but they would like to have a chapter in the story. And I think
great idea. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of women said they want to tell their story. And I think today, especially with the Me Too movement, I like to call us the We Too movement because that's what straight wives are. We're unheard. We're silenced. Nobody happens to particularly care what we have to say because they're cheering on their gay husband's society, how brave and how courageous they are. And
exactly.
Right? So nobody's listening to us.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that would be such a great thing because, you know, I don't want to write my own book, but I want to tell my story, and everyone has a story, and you can learn from each other's stories. And
exactly.
I think it's a fantastic way of doing it, and it's a great idea. And, you know, and I've even tried to read
the
other side.
You're the first to know, by the way, Megan, okay?
Yes.
You're the first one hearing this news.
Oh, okay. Well, it's great news, and I'm happy to hear it. It's very it's a great idea. It's a great way for us to, you know, to really explain our stories. And you know, I forgot the name of the person that the BBC commentator that recently just came out. I forgot. And you know, it really was so disturbing to me because once again, as you just said, he was portraying himself like the victim, and he's saying he got the support of his daughters and his wife, and it's just so hard for me to even believe that that's the case, you know. And obviously it's just publicity and it's media, but you know, these stories are just, you're hearing it, I'm just hearing it time and time again, and how often this happens, and it's just you know, it's not helping, it's just not helping us, you know, to move on to some extent.
Well, it does happen a lot, and because of the fact that I believe in my heart, I mean, this is how I see it, so, you know, my perception after doing this for 35 years now, that women never get the recognition, and they never get cheered on, like, look how, instead of telling gay men, look how brave you are, why don't they turn around and look at the wives and say, look how brave you are that you stayed in a marriage that wasn't fulfilling to you, that you took care of a man who could never take care of you back of you, that may be financially, but he never gave you the emotional port, never gave you the sexual, you know, satisfaction you should have had, never made you feel like you're somebody important. Because I know with me, and I'm not going to say for everybody, but maybe you can relate to this. When I was in my marriage, and it was a short-term marriage, but I was very strong when I went into it. You know, I was leading an activist/militant type of group back in the 70s. And, you know, I would get arrested and locked up, you know, for fighting for a cause that, you know, I'm certainly not, I'm very proud of even today. But the point remains that, you know, I was a strong woman. And then I met a man who I thought was a strong man. But I made a mistake in that assumption because he was strong. He was a bully. And I didn't see that at that time. But when living with a bully, who's also a gay man, who's trying to escape his life by marrying me, and feeling resentment for me because I cannot satisfy him the way that a man would because he's gay. So rather than, you know, take responsibility, he would just berate me every day and find things that were wrong about me and call me names like, are you, a nymphomaniac? Well, he would call me a nymphomaniac. He said, you're always thinking about sex. Well, yeah, I was. I mean, I was 26 years old. I wasn't, you know, 50 or 70 and, you know, had a lifetime of sexual experience.
Right.
I was married, a young married woman who expected to have sex, right?
Right.
And it wasn't my first marriage.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I knew what sex, you know, should be. But instead of it feeling like a joyous thing, it was always a battle. And even when we could have sex because he's a gay man, it was a performance and not necessarily a really good one. But, you know, he was performing, and I was supposed to just accept it. And if I would ask for it, he would make me feel there's something wrong with me. And, you know, you say you love someone. These men don't know how to love us. I'm being honest with you. They may love us like a sister. They may love us like a neighbor. But they don't know how to love us like a husband. Do you agree with that?
It's so true. Oh, I everything you're saying, it's so, so true. And I think that they're really – like you said, they're bullies, but they're really cowards at the same time. Like they pretend, you know, they're hiding behind something that they're not, and they're mad at us that they can't be what we want them to be. But they're cowardly because they don't want to admit to themselves or to their family that they are who they are. And then when we call them on it and we figure it out, then it's like, okay, the charade is up, you are who you are, and then they either deny it or they openly admit it, which my husband, my ex, openly was like out of the closet and bragging about it to everyone. I mean, I heard that he was bragging about his new sex life with his lover to people. I mean, the audacity after cheating on his wife and his family and his children, and then being proud of what he was. Well, he should have, you know, been proud of that enough to not be a coward and to sit down with his family and admit who he was. And before he acted on it, you know, aggressively and the deception, you know, should have really come to terms with it. That's the part that I have a real tough time with. It's not the fact that, you know, the gay thing, yes, it blows me away because I was married for 20 years to this person, but it's the fact that they can't come to terms with it. And it's like, it's our fault that they are this person. It's like they're blaming us, you know, and once again, two wives and two kids to figure this out. And then they're mad at us for figuring it out. And it's almost like it's our
fault.
Only
that,
and that's such a twist.
My ex-husband, as well as many of the other ones, not only are they resentful for that reason, but a lot of them blame us for their behavior. Like, I've heard from men, because I work with men who are looking to come out. You know, they come to me for help, and I'm happy to always help any man who wants to come out to a point. You know, I'm going to help them figure out how to do it the right way, to do the least amount of damage, which I've had several hundred men who've done everything wonderful. But then I get those men who tell me, and this is the thing I hate the most, that it's not because I'm gay that the marriage is breaking up. It's because my wife has changed. Oh, okay. We would have gotten divorced anyway. It had nothing to do with the gay thing. And I say to them, like, for real?
So true.
Right? They're saying, well,
you hit it on the head.
I know. Like, they're blaming us. And, like, how many times have I heard men say, if my wife wasn't such a witch, a bitch, I can give you a whole list of names.
Right.
I wouldn't have had to turn somewhere else. So I said, let's say you had to turn somewhere else. Why were you turning to a man?
Right.
I said, you can't tell me you didn't have gay feelings, right?
Right. Oh, it's so true. I mean, we went before, I tried so hard because I didn't know what was going on, and I went to a marriage counselor. He was very reluctant to go. And then, you know, before the marriage counselor, you know, meanwhile, he's sleeping with men. He's got a boyfriend for 2 years into this, you know, and he never could openly in front of the marriage, but he's blaming me. And he's like, we're just not meant to be together. Like, you know, we should never have gotten married. And I'm looking at him like, are you kidding me? We were married for 20 years. I was in love with you. Like, we have a family. Like, this is not, you're a cop. You're a coward. You're a cop out. It's like, no, we just weren't meant to, it wasn't meant to be. And that's just, it's this nonchalant attitude of, oh, well, whatever. Let's just, you know, it's done. And that's the part that's just so sick about it. And, you know, and it's like, I think you said last time, it's like, whether it's a man or a woman, it doesn't make it any easier if it's a man. It really does. It just confuses things. It just, it's mind-boggling.
No, it makes it much harder. You know. And I'm going to tell you some of the reasons why it's harder. First of all, because of our lack of understanding of homosexuality to start with, we don't understand the fact that why would a gay man marry a straight woman? So we're assuming that our husbands are straight. So So we don't necessarily, and this is nothing personal against any gay man. You know, I have gay friends, gay professional friends, gay everyday friends.
Right.
I embrace them because they're honest and open gay men. But it doesn't mean that I would have to marry a gay man. I, no matter how much I love my friends who are gay, they're not, you know, suitable partners for me because gays don't match. So the thing is, first, understanding the fact that why would even a gay, and most of my gay friends would never want to marry a woman. I mean, that was something really new to me. I was not aware. I thought in Hollywood sometimes this happens, or you read actors this happens too. But I would have never chosen a gay man, and I also didn't believe that I could change a gay man into a straight man. I knew gay men when I was younger. There was no way in the world they could change. So I had absolutely no idea. We all have these preconceived notions of what gay men are like, and my ex-husband was a big strapping kung fu teacher when I met him. You know, there was no way my knowledge to even think about gay in him. He was a macho. So the fact that we think we're marrying a straight man who turns out now to be gay, here's the issues that we have that other women don't have. First of all, we start thinking they weren't gay when they married us. Did we do something wrong? Because we don't understand what gay is. Next, and once again, nothing personal against homosexuality, but there is something personal against homosexuality being in a straight marriage. So, you know, we have gay friends. We're very pro-gay. I think that's why they target us, because they know we are pro-gay. But when it comes up in our marriage, I mean, it's something that all of a sudden, I wasn't very pro-gay at all. I was very upset with gay. Because any preconceptions I had of having a happy life and a normal life, somebody there to raise my children with me, went right out the window once you realize that.
Right.
When you have somebody who's straight, who's cheating on you with a woman, that's just as hurtful as cheating with a man. The only difference is your marriage isn't dead. When your husband is attracted to men, your marriage is dead. It means no hope. I mean, people have infidelity and they have different urges. They have different things that happen, but they're able to repair it and still have a marriage. With this, with the gay, it's like saying you're doomed. It's over. And we can't figure it out. And plus, the families often blame us. And I really attribute that to the fact that the mothers of gay men know that their sons are gay. But then when they tell them they're falling in love and they want to marry us, they think they've been fixed. And now that their husband, their sons are coming out again, they're blaming us. We didn't work hard enough in marriage. We didn't try hard enough. You weren't a good enough housekeeper. You know, stupid stuff. But, you know, it's very hurtful.
And they cover
us.
Well,
they knew, but they'll never admit it.
And they covered up for these people their whole life. They knew something was off. They knew something wasn't right, you know. And then when it comes out, they're either embarrassed by it or their family blood is thicker than water. And then all of a sudden, the tables are turned and it's our fault. It's, you know,
So now
it's
not
like
only is our gay husband blaming us, but now his family is blaming us.
Right.
And this is the most ludicrous
thing
in the world. We have to be condemned by not only him but by his family. And these people, I would say 90% of the time, they stick by their sons over, you know, any kind of good relationship that you've had with them. All of a sudden, you're dead to them. All of a sudden, you know, they don't want anything to do with you because they're blaming you also. Does that happen to you?
Absolutely. Oh, you're so right. It's, you know, I mean, his mother died a long time ago. So, I think I mentioned, you know, his father was a very macho Italian man, and he worked with him in the, you know, for years and years, and then when he died is when he came out. And that's because I think, you know, it was his father would not have been as accepting of this. I think he would have been like, you know, Catholic Italian, and that, you know, he waited for his father to die to come out. I mean, he was, you know, obviously still cheating on me and doing things, but you know, that was what the turning point was. And and it would have gone on, you know, thank him in a way. It's like a blessing, because otherwise this would have gone on and on, and I would never have known. And, you know, I still think about every day, like, the way it was handled was just so bad. And, you know, we can't win in a no-fault state. You know, you can, as the first judge that I went to court with said, oh, I don't care. I don't care if he's gay. He could be having sex with a monkey. It's not going to put money in your pocket. And that was out of the mouth of a judge. And that's a whole other thing. Like, you know, financially, it's adultery, it's cheating, but it doesn't matter when you're in a no fault. It's a matter of how well you can hide your assets. And he did a good job at that. And that's the other part that's really, really hurtful. You know, you could have a life, you can have a lover, he could travel all over the world. And I know that that's what he's doing, and yet not enough money for, you know, for his family and his kids. It's just, and the judicial system is not in our favor at all, at all.
No.
They don't care.
And I'll tell you something. I totally am so against no fault divorce. I mean, maybe work where there is no fault, and then you don't even have to call it no fault because people will be amicable and separate. But in this particular case, there is fault.
Uh-huh.
And it's their fault because we married in good faith. We try to be the best wife we could be. And now the marriage is over through no fault of ours. And yet it's called no fault divorce, and that nobody's at fault. Wrong. Somebody's at fault.
Right.
And that's why I was very big trying to push this movement of your fault divorce. But, you know, I need to get support, and I was never able to get the kind of support we need for this. And the problem is, I'm going to be honest, too. I love my women. I love my support group. They're the bravest women I know. But they're all going through their own recovery, and they're all in different stages. And we really need people to be advocates for this. Last week, we had Linda Fagan on and talking about a bill that she was trying to get passed. And once again, I think Linda's a very true, courageous warrior. I don't agree with the bill exactly, but I love the concept that somebody should have to be at fault and be penalized for it, that it shouldn't come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to see, as I told Linda for the last couple of years when she was working on this bill in Iowa, is that if somebody marries you, and it doesn't matter if they say they didn't know at the time, they didn't know at the time, they weren't sure at the time, but the bottom line is they're gay, then the marriage is their fault that it's splitting up. Therefore, they should be responsible for paying for the legal fees, and they should be responsible for paying for expenses and child support, because their fault that marriage is breaking up, it's not their fault. You know, gay is not a fault. Gay is circumstances of who you are. But it was misleading to us, and it was fraudulent to us.
Right.
And, of course, gay people will say at that point, well, I didn't know I was gay when I got married. So then I would go to the gay community. And they always say, we know all our whole lives that we're attracted to people of the same sex. So even if you didn't know what to call it, it wasn't straight. Maybe, you know, their answer is, well, we didn't recognize it until we were older and we fell in love with these women. No, you love these women. You were hoping not to be gay anymore. But you couldn't fall in love because you're a gay man. You cannot fall in love with a straight woman.
Right. Right.
That's
defense mechanism. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's their defense mechanism, because I didn't know. Okay, well, if you didn't know, then why did you cheat on your wife after 20 years and and sleep with men and have a boyfriend for the past 3 years that she found out about? That's false.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there.
Exactly.
That's like, you know, I shot him, but I didn't know I had a gun in my hand. Well, you know, what came first? You know, it's the same type of thing. And I know when I went through part of the legal process and I gave up, you know, you can go for like emotional abuse. Well, that's hard to prove. But in all reality, all of us who have gone through this have been very severely emotionally abused because we were deprived of what we thought a normal, healthy marriage was, you know, in every regard. You know, we were in it for the right reasons and they were not in it for the right. They were, and that's emotional abuse, and emotional, that's fault. That is, you know, fault. So I don't know where you're going with it. I'm very confused. I'm very confused by the legal process.
Not only is it emotional abuse, it's also sexual abuse.
Right.
I mean, when you feel somebody feels so inadequate sexually because you're a gay man and you're telling the woman that you have body odor, you have bad breath, you know, you're very boring in bed, and you just take away her whole feminine spirit. And I think that is so important, you know, in a woman's life is to feel like a woman. And I see how many women feel like so battered down. And you know what? After my marriage, I felt the same way. It took me 11 years till I was willing to try again with somebody, because I felt so sexually inadequate. And I think that in itself is a crime. Like I tell my men who come to me, my gay men who come to me for help, I said, how would you like it? And you fell in love now with somebody who's wonderful, and you finally found yourself, and now you can be your gay, authentic self. And you fell in love with this man who's living with you, you know, swearing to you he loves you too. And every time you want him to hold you, you know, to make passionate love to you, he says, I don't want to do that now. And this goes on week in and week out, and I'm too tired, and I'm not into it. And then finally one day he just breaks down and says, look, I'm really bored with you. You're not that good in bed. You don't have a big enough penis. You're not good enough with it. I said, how would you feel? I said, well, that's how your wife feels. I said, you know, you've taken away from her any sense of, you know, who she is. And, you know, maybe they relate to that story. But there's so much damage that's done. There's so many, you know, bridges that you have to repair. And then you're left with children in most cases. And that's not to say anything against that you don't love your children. But on top of all of this, you know, they have, to first start understanding it, a lot of children, they go through terrible times thinking, well, my father's gay, am I gay? And now they're questioning their sexuality where they wouldn't be doing that otherwise. But it's a whole new trauma that they have to go through.
Of course. I mean, how could they not question it? And how can they explain it, you know? And it's just such a it's a hard thing. I mean, you know, my son was sophomore in high school when this all happened, and it's you know, it's not easy to digest all this. Once again, it's not that there's anything wrong with, you know, people being gay, but you got to figure it out at the right stage in your life, you know. And nowadays it's like it is so common, like you said, and it's accepted and it's all over the news. And, you know, half of these politicians and these anchor men and everyone are coming out, and they're getting all the accolades. They're getting all the, like, isn't that great? They're gay and their family is supporting them. I mean, you hear it time and time again. And first of all, you know, I don't believe any of that. It's all tabloid stuff, but it's like, where do we fit into the picture? We can't even win in the courtroom, you know? Even the court system is against us. The judges are against us. The lawyer, you know, there's
exactly.
And that's the problem. You know, there was some justice done, and it was like, okay, all right, this is the way it's going to be, but that's it. It's like your whole life just goes up in smoke, and there's no remorse, and there's no one to even, there's no support for us, with the exception of, you know, people like you that write books, and there's some TV shows, but there's nothing real there, you know?
I know, but you know what, also, Megan, it's a matter that the third slap on the face is after they come out and after they're all congratulating, everybody's saying how brave you are.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like, there's somebody I knew here in Philadelphia who writes for a local newspaper, who works for a city newspaper here in Philadelphia, one of the three. And I was very close friends with him. You know, I used to do advertising with this paper, but we grew into a very nice friendship. And we saw each other regularly. We talked on the phone. And then, you know, I didn't see him for a while. And then the next thing I know, I'm being called by some of my friends saying, did you see what happened to him? He came out, now he's transgender. And, you know, he has beautiful pictures of himself as a woman. You know, it took him about a year before he's ready to come out, you know, from his job and everything else. And again, everybody said, oh, he's so brave. You know, it's so hard when you're transgender. And look what he went through. And all I'm thinking about is, here's a man who has five children with a wonderful wife, you know, knew her and the family. And I felt betrayed myself, that here he knows what I'm doing. You know, the whole thing with the straight gay issue. And that he couldn't even have the courtesy to tell me, look, I'm going through my own struggles, until I had to read it in the newspaper, feeling stupid again because people can't be honest about it. And thinking to myself, he thinks everything's fine with his wife and five children. I really seriously doubt it. I mean, I don't know how people can be fine with that news.
What is going through their? How can they actually think that they can walk away from this unscathed when you have, you know, family, kids, and you just totally change your sexuality or decide you're something that everyone else that you didn't, that you thought you were and you weren't. It's just so conflicting. And how do they sleep at night, think, knowing that it's like everything was a lie, you know? And I guess they just convince themselves that they're brave and that's the right thing to do. And, you know, and some people drink the Kool-Aid and say, wow, isn't that wonderful that they're so brave and that they've done this? And, you know,
well, I'll tell you what's even worse, although you're not going to like hearing this, but the truth is that they feel that they've paid their dues. They feel they've done us a favor by staying married all these years when they could have broken up with us earlier, left us to raise the children, that they sacrificed themselves and stayed there until their children were grown, and now they've made their sacrifice. It's time for them to have their life. And I'm giving you my word when I tell you I hear that story so many times. I could have left, but I stayed. Okay, so you stayed an extra 10 years with a wife, torturing her because you couldn't be honest about who you are, thinking you're doing her some big favor. I don't think so. You know, I hate that mentality of I paid my dues.
Right.
And that's what you're saying.
I think you're
right.
And I also, I also think the fact that, like, if they find a lover and they find a young lover or boyfriend, it's, you know, that they're moving on at a quicker rate. Like, I think if he had not found this person that, you know, he's in love with, I think I agree with you. I probably would have dragged on a little longer. But, you know, he needed to get out. I mean, and that's the part I don't understand. Like, what do you tell these young lovers? Like, you know, my ex was like 60 years old. He's with a 44-year-old, you know, gay guy. What do you say? Like, oh, my God, my wife, my kids are home. I got to, like, sneak away. First of all, I don't know if they're working, how they even find the time to meet up and do whatever they do, you know.
Well, first of all,
I don't understand how they can do that.
It's very easy for them. First of all, a lot of these guys travel for their jobs. So when they're traveling, they're picking up guys or they're bringing along guys. A lot, I mean, the ones that I've worked with a lot of gay men who I call the other men because just like, you know, having a woman who's the other woman, these are the other men. And in almost every single case, these men are being played also. They're being told, oh, I always had these feelings, but not until I met you did they really come out. And I'm so in love with you. I've never been with a man before. And if you read the ads, like some on Craigslist and all these med sites, they're looking for men. They're, you know, virgins. They've never been with another man before, and they want somebody to show them the way. And so younger guys like that. Younger guys like somebody who's older and who they can show the way to, or someone who's going to support them in a better way than they're living now, you know, because a lot of them get these guys and they get everything they can from them, you know. But so some of these other men, though, are really do believe these stories and, you know, their promise that we're going to have a wonderful life and live happily ever after. And I would say 90% of the time, those men are never going to leave their wives and they get rid of the guy. But, you know, these guys who are cheating with them, I would say, you know, you have to have some kind of conscience too, because you're participating in breaking up that family.
Right.
And
I mean, in my case,
will
it's blatantly
somebody
obvious.
Else, but what's the difference? Right. And I told him, is it not you, it will be somebody else. Because that's the kind of guy you're going with. And if he's cheating on her, he's going to be cheating on you.
No.
He really loves me. He's, you know, these guys believe it. That's the sad thing. And 99% of the time, I'm right. But, I mean, I do have one wonderful guy who's like almost a nephew to me, and it has been working out for him. And he had real skepticism that it would ever come about. But, you know, he hung out and gave deadlines, and it worked out. But most of the times it doesn't. Most of the times these guys are just being used. These guys have no intention of leaving.
Yeah. That's the part. That's the other thing I think is, like, my ex is such a coward because, you know, he did leave for this guy, and he's still with him, and it's been over 3 years. And as I said, I know that they're still together traveling the world. And it's like, you know, what really, like, we think about it, like, is there – I know, you know, it's about sex and it's about money and it's about whatever, but what about, like, and from an emotional standpoint, you know, let's just say they get married. What kind of marriage is that? Are they really in love? Is, like, a husband and a wife love each other with a family and kids, or this is just a different, like, a different way of loving someone? Like, that's the other thing I don't
know. You know, I really don't know, because some of them are very, I know one couple in particular, one who wrote some stuff for me. And they have a wonderful relationship. It is like a marriage. But a lot of these guys have what's like an open marriage, you know, or they're having three-way sex, the two of them and somebody else, so it'll be more exciting or not so boring. But there are some real stable couples, you know, and I think that's wonderful as long as they're marrying somebody of the same sex and not us. That's why I am all for gay marriage, 100%. I like them to marry each other rather than feeling like I can't have a marriage. My same sex, I better find somebody else of a different sex. I mean, like us. And what also
surprises
me. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What also surprises me that in this day and age, I'm still getting, I would say, anywhere from 6 to 12 letters every week from women who are going through this. You know, I thought that was the day of gay acceptance, that someday this would be eradicated, the situation, that gay people could feel proud of who they are and meet somebody who's gay and get married and live happily ever after, which is my greatest wish. But I still have a lot of young people in their 20s and 30s coming to me every week, and, of course, older people, too. And now the issue just isn't straight and gay. It's now straight, gay, bi, and transgender. And to me, even though transgender is not gay, it's the same situation. You marry somebody who you think will be a husband to you, who now wants to be a wife to you, and you're not gay to start with.
Right. Bonnie, what do you think? What do you think? Yeah, I totally don't understand that. What do you think the age, I mean, you said it kind of runs the gamut as far as, is this happening more to people in their 50s and 60s, these men? Like they're turning like 60 and they're going through midlife and they decide, or does it happen to young, a younger generation also? Like people in their 20s and 30s that are married,
I mean,
that, you know, really,
No, they always know they're gay. They know they're getting gay when they're getting married. They may not know the name of it, but I'll put it this way.
But
now they have attractions to men. So they're desperately.
Right.
And I can understand why they're confused. I really can. Because, look, on a personal level, you know, if you have a choice to be gay or straight, why would you pick gay? You'd want to be straight. Now you meet a woman because you've been doubting yourself your whole life and you're really attracted to her and you feel something for her. Because when you're in your 20s, sexually, anything feels good. You can be attracted to a woman. You can have sex in your 20s. And you can enjoy it. But the older you get, every gay man has told me this, the more prominent it becomes, the less you can resist it, more defined you become. So people are, and I know some people don't agree with me, but I truly believe in my heart people are born gay. They wouldn't choose to be gay. If they could choose anything, they choose to be straight. So I've heard from all these gay people my whole life that they always knew there was something different about themselves. Or they knew they had these attractions, but they didn't understand them. And guess what? I do give them, you know, I give them that. Absolutely, I can understand that. What I can understand is what you were talking about earlier. Okay, now you know it, but you're still out there dating men, you know. And what really makes me so upset is we have about 20% of our women have sexually transmitted diseases that they receive from their careless gay husbands. And it's not as bad now. The fact, you know, you can live with these diseases. But when I was younger, like in the 1990s, and doing counseling with women in this situation, and I had one after another calling me crying hysterically that their kids are going to now be orphans because they're dying from AIDS that their husband brought them. So their husbands were dying and they were dying. And thankfully today, people aren't necessarily dying from AIDS, but even having HIV and having to navigate that when you're a woman, because now you have that from your husband that doesn't last forever. To me, that's really unconscionable that you're going out having sex and coming home and giving your blood sexually transmitted diseases.
And
even
once
worse,
again, we go to falter. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, even worse, guess what? A lot of times they blame their wives. They tell them, I'm not out there. It must be you. Where were you that you had, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we go back to that whole issue of no fault. Okay, so let's just say you contract, you know, you get HIV. Is that, that's no fault too? You know, I mean, that's something, right? I mean, we, you know, go back to that whole theory.
Yeah, I know.
And I know. I'd say, you know, I'm here out in Palm Springs and very, very accepted out here. I mean, the parades and everywhere you turn and, you know, I think the majority of people are, I mean, a lot of the people out here, the population is gay and this is like community and this is what it is. But it's just, you know, it's interesting because once again, it's like at least they know what the, who they are, you know.
Exactly.
But, like these gay parades that go on, you know, where's there a parade for straight women? You know, not that I would want to be out there, but why is it always about them? Why is it always? Why are they always getting the praise and the glory? You know.
Because there's always a certain part of us, and it's not a criticism. It's just a statement that I understand. Because of the way that society looks at us, we're not out there celebrating. They're out there celebrating. We still feel a sense of shame and inadequacy. And no matter how much we say to ourselves, it's his fault, there's always, because we've been beaten down for so long, making to feel like it's our fault, people are really afraid and embarrassed to stand up, or else the stigma of being married to a gay man is still there. Like, you weren't smart enough to know he was gay. We knew he was gay. How could you not figure it out? You know, the criticisms that come of us, instead of cheering us on, saying, like I say, you are all the winners because you stayed in that marriage and you were miserable and you didn't walk away from it. Nobody's saying that to us. They're saying that to the men when they're coming out. You're the ones who are to be applauded. You're the ones who sat there and suffered. So society's just, you know, moving on with the same theory that knocks us down to start with. So I guess that's why there's nobody cheering who's straight, you know. But I definitely feel like I really was trying to push this Your Fault divorce or the We Too movement, meaning that We Too, nobody's listening to us. You know, when they started the Me Too movement, it became very strong because they had movie stars out there, you know, Hollywood figures who were making all these charges, and so people listened. Now, there are a lot of women in Hollywood who have been married to gay men, but they're not looking to stand up and say, this happened to me, even though it's much more common there even than anywhere else. I mean, somebody like Liza Minnelli could be a wonderful guiding light for us if she would stand up for us and say, we too, we have our stories to tell also about what's been taken from us. And I read all the time about actors and actresses who are gay who are married to straight people. So if we had a few advocates like that instead of Fran Drescher, who's best friends with her husband and goes double dating with him and makes a funny series about it, you know, that's not helping us.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I was talking about earlier. Yeah. Why do you think these women don't want to speak out? Why do you think they're protecting their husbands and accepting it the way they do? I don't understand that.
Same reason that we do the same thing. You know, straight wives, nobody's standing up and marching either. You know, and so I guess maybe the sense of embarrassment or stupidity or being judged. And then also, let's be honest, when people ask you about your gay husband, let's say if you want to move on with your life or the new social life, you know, that will deter a lot of people from being with you. They're going to be thinking, well, maybe she's carrying some of his diseases. You know, maybe there's something wrong with her. She doesn't even know her husband.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I didn't think of it that way, but it's a good point.
Man, they don't. A lot of men just walk away. They don't want to get involved.
That's true.
Because in their hearts, they still really don't know if you're going to have a disease or not. And I've had men tell me that, you know, not about me per se, but about other women. Oh, her husband was gay. Right. Maybe she has HIV. Maybe she's not revealing that. And as soon as they hear, oh, I had a gay husband, which is why a lot of women don't want to tell people they had a gay husband. That's why I say it's
an interesting way of looking at it. Yeah.
Right?
I know. You're right. I never really thought of it that way, but it's true, you know, and people, men might just be turned off by it and say, well, you know, that's strange. Or why would she marry a gay guy? Didn't she see the signs? Or, you know, maybe she's got it's all the above, you know, there's a lot of, it's very, I never thought of it, but it's very true.
Yeah, they think of women who've gone through this, like, excuse this expression, because I hate it, damaged goods. But their
damaged goods, exactly.
Direction. You know, nobody wants to take a chance on an unknown. It's just like right now with the coronavirus. People are really being crazy with this, and I don't blame them because, you know, people do die from it. But, like, for instance, they don't want to go into Chinatown to eat Chinese food. I know teachers who have Chinese kids in their class. Even the other day I went to my doctor, and the first question they asked me is, have you traveled lately? Do you have a cold? I mean, people are so over, you know, and understandably because
they're overthinking
terrible.
It. Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they will prevent. So a lot of times when people ask these questions, and what happens when you say yes? Well, some people say, I don't want to take a chance. Don't come to my house, or, you know, you might have this disease.
Right.
I mean, people are really going crazy. Like in the AIDS epidemic, people are afraid to touch you because they thought they were going to touch it by physical contact. So people would go crazy over it,
Right. And not only that, but even, I mean, the health issues aside, like the emotional scarring, you know, I'm sure a lot of men say, oh my gosh, well, you know, why, she's never going to be normal. Like what she's gone through emotionally, I don't want to have to deal. I don't want to have to deal with it. You know, I don't want to have to be there to pick up the pieces. Like you said, damaged goods. You know, I don't want to have to be her psychiatrist. I don't want to have to deal with this. You know, it's a whole other part of the equation.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's many parts.
Once again, fault. back to fault. You know, it's another issue, but you know,
We have so many other issues. So that's what people say to me, not for me per se, but about people in our situation. Why don't they just get over it? How long are you going to hold it against someone? This
I
is
hate
something
that
happened
line.
10 years
hate
ago, and you're still talking about it. You know, I just get so angry because they just they think they're being sympathetic, but they're not. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about our pain. They don't want to hear about our issues. I mean, we have divorce plus
and
a whole lot more.
Right. And they'll never understand it. Unless you've been through it, you can never understand it. And, you know, and they don't want to hear about it. And, you know, it's like you said, they just move on. I hate that so much. Just move on already. It's been 3 years, you know. You know how long have you been divorced? Oh, it's time to move on. Find your own
mm-hmm.
life. You'll be happy one day. You'll meet someone. Don't worry about it. You'll have the wife, you know, you're almost 6 years old and you're going to have the life you always wanted to have. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, it's easier said than done.
We have so much feeling to do internally. And the problem is that when you've been in a long-term marriage like you, so many of our other women, 25, 30, 40 years, and they've had all
mm-hmm.
those years of pounded down emotionally, physically, sexually, and it's just like the battered wife syndrome because you are a battered wife. Maybe you're not physically battered, but some of our women are even physically battered on top of all of that. And it's just
right.
not like, oh, now it's over, I'm happy, and I'm going to move on. Any kind of damage to people
right.
takes time to recover from. And then you go to the wrong
right.
therapist, is the other thing. You go to therapists who just don't understand the situation. You know, they don't have enough clients
right.
who have had it. They have their own personal points of
exactly.
view, or they're trying to be
exactly.
fair. Or you go to a gay therapist who already has preconceived notions of how you're feeling that are incorrect
right.
and, you know,
right.
are sticking up for their gay husbands. So many different dynamics even with that. That's why I tell women, if you're looking for a good therapist, come to me because I will send you to some of the best therapists that understand the situation rather than have you suffer more than you're already suffering for months until you realize this counselor can't
mm-hmm.
help me. We have some wonderful
right.
women and men in the network who can really help you. But when you get the wrong
right.
advice and you're being told, well, you have to give him another chance or he doesn't have
right.
to stay like this. If you're, a lot of therapists don't understand this whole situation. So you're hit
exactly.
on all sides.
That's...
Now you're being hit emotionally. You're being
right.
hit with the family. You're being hit with the children. And then you have children
right.
who feel sorry for their dads because especially a lot of times with girls, you know, they think their dad
yeah.
is a wounded bird and they have to nurse him back to health. So they're not going to be
right.
necessarily on your side either. And when their fathers
right.
tell their children, well, it's your mother's fault that we don't have a marriage. I wanted to stay. And they buy
right.
into that.
Right.
So these are all these things
right.
we have to
right.
deal with. Megan, I think that
right.
it's different in that
right.
way, right?
Well, right. Well, I think the best decision I made, and, you know, I can speak for myself, is just cutting all ties with him, with his family, with his daughter, with everybody, and just completely cutting all ties. And, you know, I moved across the country for other reasons, but I think it really is helping me. And I knew that I could not, I mean, it's been years. And recently a member of the family did reach out to me after 3 years, sent me a text, and I completely ignored it. And that's the only way that I'm going to stay healthy. And, you know, I think that's the only way my kids are going to stay healthy. It's up to them, but I think they're pretty much in agreement. And it was that bad that cutting every kind of tie and just pretending that he's no longer in my, I mean, pretending he's dead. It sounds terrible, but that's the way I'm looking at it. And I don't have to ever deal with him or his family again. And that's how hard hit I felt personally. And I feel fortunate that I'm able to do that. I'm able to do that. I'm at a point in my life where I don't have to deal with visitation or custody or, you know, it's at the point where I'm just done and it's over. And that's the only way that I think myself and my kids are going to survive this. You know, it might sound a little traumatic, but it's helped me tremendously. You know,
and that's the only thing you have
it.
To care about right now, because guess what? Everybody's doing what makes them feel good. And it's time you have to be number
right.
one to do what makes you feel good. You spent all those years
exactly.
not feeling good and being, you know, abused that way.
Right.
Now it's time for you
right.
to handle this however makes
right.
you feel good. Right?
Right. And I'm starting to enjoy my own company. You know, you go to the ups, you're like, oh, I'm lonely, I don't have someone. But, you know, you get to a point where it's like, it's so much better to be alone than to have someone cut you down and berate you and scream at you and yell at you and tell you you're doing everything wrong. It's like freedom, you know, and that's, I'm at that point where I'm starting to finally turn the corner and say, I'd much rather be alone than be with someone I realized how bad it really was, you know? I mean,
you know,
as much as
I
wanted the marriage to work, yeah, yeah.
But I always say you can feel more alone with somebody there because that's somebody who
definitely
doesn't want to really be there. So they're ignoring you
that's
anyway
a very good
and
point.
Making you feel like you're doing it on your own rather than just be alone where you don't have to be under that stress. I'm sure
you're
that you
absolutely
had the same,
right.
same experience that I had. I was in the house
yeah.
with my ex-husband who did not want to be with me. I mean,
right.
he could be great. I mean, it wasn't 100% bad. Don't get me wrong. We would play cards. We'd have
right.
laughs and stuff. But bottom line,
right.
maybe that took up
right.
10% of our marriage. The other 90%,
right.
you know, you keep hanging into these marriages hoping that 10% will return. But the point is that,
right.
you know, all of that is just superficial fluff. The real agony is
right.
feeling so lonely when you're with somebody, which is worse than not having them there, right?
Right, absolutely. And I remember thinking back, like, what did we do together? Like, I'd always want to go take the dog for a walk. Come with me. No, I'm watching a show, you know. Or it was always
mm-hmm.
an argument. It was never any kind of, like, let's just get together and go for a walk or hold hands or go do something, you know. And I got to the point where I'd hear the garage door, you know, open or close, and I'd be like, oh, God, he's home, or, oh, God, thank God he left. Because that's how bad it really was, you know. It's like, you know, so – I shouldn't complain, but you know, it was, once again, it's just, you know, the way they handled it and the way they used us to, you know, to
mm-hmm.
to whatever, live their life. That's the whole thing. And
I think that also feeling that you were fooled all that time, that you were being lied to. I mean,
right.
once again, I always say to people that when somebody's cheating on you, you don't feel any more hurt or less hurt. You're being cheated on. But this is not about
mm-hmm.
just infidelity. This is about sexuality. And I think
mm-hmm.
there's definitely a difference. I mean, this is infidelity with sexuality, you know, with it. But there's something
right.
that's really horrible to me, knowing that visualizing my ex-husband, not now, but I'm saying back in those days, when I would visualize
right.
him having sexual, you know, affairs with men, I literally could go to the
mm-hmm.
bathroom and throw up, literally, without any trouble at all. I closed my eyes for a minute.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. And then bragging about it, I found out recently, he was bragging about it to mutual friends of ours. I mean, unbelievable. Like, the fact that he was just, it's just so disgusting. I could throw up. And once again,
yeah.
it's like, when do they find the time when they're working full time and they've got a family and they come home for dinner every night and they sit across the dinner table from their wife and their kids? Like, where? I know they go to the gym. I don't know all that stuff, but it's unbelievable how deceptive and how terrible, you know?
I know.
But,
and a lot of times they'll come into your house when you're not there and have sex with men in your bed. And that really upsets me. You know, I tell them you have no boundaries at all.
That's another thing.
That you cannot,
no boundaries.
I mean, right? The fact that they
yeah.
could do that and think they're
I
getting
bet.
Away with
I've
it.
I've heard stories like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. She's away. She's away for the weekend. Come on over, right? Yeah. Got it.
Exactly.
It's really bad.
So you think they have no time
really.
To do anything? Trust me, it takes 30 seconds to do it. I've had men
right.
who tell me that they could be going out to dinner with their wives and families. They say, I'm going to the bathroom
mm-hmm.
for a minute. They've already had somebody meet them there from one of these apps that they have. And
oh, come
they're
on.
In the bathroom. They're waiting for them. And it's a 30-second ordeal. They wipe themselves off, come back to the table like nothing's ever happened. Women have no clue how easy it is for a man to pick up a man. Right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I didn't
realize one guy,
it was just like that.
I had one guy. He would take his kids with him to Macy's. And he would tell them, here, I'll be back in 10 minutes. He went into the men's room. And he said, I would have sex with guys in there. You know, he said, you know, I didn't think anything about it. I just wanted to have it. And they were there. You know, where you least
oh,
expected.
My goodness.
I think the best story for me was when they had the Governor McGreevy from New Jersey, because I'm right from next door in the next state.
Right, McGreevy,
it was
right.
Very big news. Was very big news here when he was caught, you know, with a boyfriend.
Right.
So I loved,
right.
I loved his story because it helped me, you know, solidify, verify the women. He would go in back of dumpsters. He'd go in back of a synagogue dumpster and have sex there. And this was the governor of New Jersey. I mean, you would think people would see him. How
right.
could he get away from this?
Right.
How could he get away with this at a dumpster in
exactly.
back of the synagogue? You know,
that's
he had no
crazy.
Limit. So that's how they
yeah.
are. They don't think. They just do.
Because right.
it's always on their
right.
mind. That's the only thing they're thinking about is having sex. Or when's their next
right.
encounter going to be. Right?
Right. Right. That makes sense. That I mean,
yeah,
and it's
like
so, you know, as I said, he was always at the gym for hours and hours, and that makes, you know, now it makes perfect sense, you know,
mm-hmm.
or go to New York
and
City
and
go down to like the Chelsea area. What's that?
No, yeah, I used to live in Chelsea, on 23rd Street.
Oh really? Yeah.
But
the strangest thing is
that they weren't even going to gay gyms; they were going to straight gyms to meet gay men.
Right.
Most of them are going
right.
to straight gyms. That's where they meet the husbands who want to have sex with them.
Right. Right. And then they get on, and there's all these, you know, meetups in New York City at, you know, breweries,
uh-huh.
and, you know, this, that, all that stuff that I found out. It's all over the place.
Yep. Yep. New York is like
you
a candy
know?
Factory
yeah.
for gay men. It's wherever you go.
Right. Yep. New York
but
and
you know
Palm Springs. Yep.
I'm sure it's just as prevalent there as it is in New York.
Oh,
I mean, it's just
very prevalent.
Right?
Very prevalent. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
it's all over the place here. Yeah. Yeah.
So wherever
but,
we go, it's going to be there. But at least now, you know, we know. Hopefully.
Right.
I'm saying, hopefully we know.
Right, exactly.
Not to make
exactly.
the same mistake twice. You know, I
absolutely.
Think that in my heart that they men, I think they search us out. They look for women who are kind, nurturing, understanding, so
uh-huh.
that when the news comes out, we won't be so angry
right.
about it or try to destroy their lives. Because there seems to be
that's,
a common thread with
because,
all of us that we're caring, nurturing
yes.
women. Right?
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. I can tell from, like, your Facebook page when people write things. It's, we all have the same kind of, you know, attitude towards it. And right, we're nurturing, we're caring, we were in it for thick and thin, and you know, that's exactly who they prey on, you know, people like us. And
yes, we're the safety
net. It's unfortunate.
The safety
yep,
net women,
we are.
Right?
Absolutely. And their kids are their beards, and they hide behind religion and politics and anything else they can, and they're totally narcissistic, and we know all that stuff. but
and it's funny, when my ex-husband, when people would say to him about the word gay, he would say, "How dare you accuse me of that? I have a wife. I have two children." You know,
absolutely.
He would get so
right.
angry because he wanted people to know he was out
oh, yeah.
or he was sleeping with
oh,
them. That would be
so
different.
Defensive. Oh, uh-huh. I remember his friend from college who was in our wedding, you know, was the best man in our wedding. Oh, obviously, gay. I mean, it was so obvious, you know. And he's a nice guy. There's no problem. And I say, oh, your friend's gay. And he's like, don't you ever say that about him. How could you call him gay? I'm like, because he's gay. Like, what's the big deal? And you know, and defending the guy, for you know, and it's like, right? The same type of thing. Like, acting like a total homophobe, you know.
Megan, we're
going to
do a whole other show on this, if it's okay with you, because our time is running out now. But
okay,
you were
well,
wonderful.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
I thank you because you really bring out such good points, and I'm hoping maybe you'll do this again in April for me.
I would love to, and I'm looking forward to your book or whatever coming out.
Yes,
right.
I'll be sending
so,
you guidelines.
I would love
all
it.
Right.
I would
well,
love
all
it.
Of our
thank
women.
You, Bonnie. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank
and
you.
Ladies, have a wonderful week, and love to all of you. And Megan said she will come back in April, so hang on for her next interview. All right. Good night to everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, Megan.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.